Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York, and it is our pleasure to host for you tonight our online Bible study and prayer, our weekly pastoral connect. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Tuesday, September 21st in the year 2021. And we are grateful to God for the opportunity to be here with you all this night to share with you what thus saith the Lord. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, we thank you, we bless you, we extol thee. We are grateful, Lord, that we have the privilege to study your word. You said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. And tonight, we're here because we choose to live. We choose to live according to your word. We want to know more so we can do better. And I thank you right now, Father, for the spirit of better that's on this line tonight. Oh God, I thank you for the spirit of better. Woo, we feel your presence and your power already. We thank you for the mind to do better, for the desire to do better, for the drive to do better. Oh God, tonight we declare it's a night of better. So bless right now through the teaching of your word, encourage your people, strengthen them, Lord God, as we build our faith on your word, not the words of man, but the words of God. And so tonight, Lord God, we desire integrity through your word. We're not here playing games. We're not here trying to draw crowds, but Lord, to establish a foundation of the word of God in the hearts of our listeners, in the hearts of your children, so that they could learn to stand on the rock, to build their lives upon a rock, to hold on in times of storm to the rock, to endure hardness as good soldiers, holding on to the rock. Oh, Jesus Christ, our rock of ages. And so, Lord, bless as only you can, and even anoint the prayer leaders tonight. Special way, Lord God, let your anointing come through them. Lord, let their prayers, Lord God, come with fire and fervency. Ah, God, as they intercede on behalf of men, women, and our youth. We bless your name and thank you for all these things, commending ourselves into thine hand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Bless your hearts. We are going to go right into our lesson tonight. It is part three. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Part three of our lesson concerning the renewed mind. We bless the name of God tonight, and we've got some stuff to go through, so we're going to get right into it in the name of the Lord. We've got some stuff to go through, so we're going to get right to it in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask that you would let me know if you are seeing the chat. I'm sorry, seeing the screen. Let me know if you're seeing the screen. Praise the name of God. I need somebody to let me know if you're seeing it. Okay, very good, very good. Thank you so much. Bless your hearts. So as a bit of a preface for our lesson tonight, we're going to be continuing in the area of the seven areas of spiritual attack, the renewed mind part three, if you will. And so we're going to continue on with the renewed mind, specifically tonight in the area, seven areas of spiritual attack. And so we're going to continue on with that right now. Let's understand from the very beginning, renew your mind and you will change your life. This is why the enemy fights us in the area of our thoughts, because the enemy knows that if he can control or influence your thoughts, it will affect your life. One of the scriptures that we know so well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we know that as a person perceives themselves, that's how they will present themselves. Come on, somebody. The way a person perceives themselves is the way that they will present themselves. And so this gives an insight into what's going on in a person's heart. You don't just need to see or hear what's coming out of their mouth. You can look and observe, see how they carry themselves. The way they present themselves is the way they perceive themselves. And so it's important for us to have our minds washed through the word of God, washing of the water by the word. Let's jump in. We're going to continue with the seven areas of attack, spiritual attack. And so tonight we're at point number five. For those of you that are on Zoom with me and are able to see the screen, I'm going to need readers to get ready. And in some cases, there'll be the text of scripture on the screen that makes it very easy. So that means you should be real snappy in volunteering. And in other cases, it's just going to be the scripture reference. And I'll share that with our listeners so that they know exactly where we are. So here we are now. Seven areas of spiritual attack. Number five, your sexuality. And when we talk about sexuality, we're talking about the way people experience and express themselves sexually. This involves biological, erotic, physical, emotional, social, and even spiritual feelings and behavior. Because it's a broad term, which has varied with historical context over time, it kind of lacks a precise definition, but essentially it's how a person or people experience and express themselves sexually. And so it's important for us to understand what the word of God has to say concerning it. And so I need a volunteer tonight to start reading. Again, let's understand that the devil fights us in this area. This is one of the areas where the enemy fights. And so let's be aware of it so that we can walk by the power of it. Praise the Lord. I need a reader to read all verses here. I need someone to read all of the nine verses. Praise the Lord. Again, we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. Okay, so let's get reading. Sister Marbury, go ahead and read this one, and we'll get the next one for Sister Tilly. So please unmute yourself, Sister Marbury.
And so read from number 5 down?
Nope, the whole thing.
Do you not see
the whole thing?
Okay, Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband have not power over his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of God, and after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but they cannot contain. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn.
Thank you so much. I know that was a mouthful. Thank you. And I wanted you to read the whole thing. We're going in deep tonight. So let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say here. So Corinth was a church that was a very anointed church, a very gifted church, but they were actually quite carnal. And so it's not surprising that he has to write to them concerning sexuality. He writes to them concerning the issue of a man having committed fornication with his father's wife, and the kind of fornication and sexuality, sexual promiscuity, was something that at that time was not even very common amongst the Gentiles or common in the world. And so Paul was appalled. He was shocked that they would sweep this under the rug, as it were, and not deal with this sin. This kind of sexual sin is not greater than any other sin. It's sin. Sin is sin. But there's something very powerful about the sex drive, because the sex drive is a natural drive that God gives us. It's natural, and the enemy exploits it. It's a very powerful drive. It's been said that there's a thin line between love and hate. And we see in our society today such horrific expressions and examples of domestic violence in the context of a couple in a relationship, married or unmarried, where at one point it's a very romantic love affair, and something happens and turns it from a love affair to a nightmare. And so it's important to understand the sacredness of sex. My God, can I say that on this line with sanctified folks? Praise the name of God. The sacredness of sex. The Bible says that marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers God will judge. And so the Apostle Paul speaks to us here concerning guarding ourselves in the context of sexuality, particularly here as it relates to husbands and wives. He said it's not good. It is good. It's good for a man to not touch a woman, and that's in an intimate touch, a sexual touch, not a friendly touch as in the shaking of a hand or the patting on the back or holding a door or lifting them up from a chair or lifting them up from having fallen. It's not in the in the common touch, but it's in a sensuous touch. And he says it's not good for a man to do that, but to avoid fornication. And so he puts it right out there. Sexual sin, sexual intercourse between unmarried folks is fornication. And sometimes this word fornication is used for the plethora of sexual sins as an encompassing word, all-encompassing word dealing with sexual sins. Let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. So right out of the box, the Apostle Paul speaks to the necessity or the guarding, the safety in having a spouse. And then he says that the husband should render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. In other words, that the husband should willingly give himself to his wife for sexual pleasure, and the wife should do the same, because neither the husband nor the wife has power over their bodies. The husband doesn't have power over his body to restrain and restrict his wife, and neither does the wife. Now, of course, this doesn't mean abuse. It's not an invitation for rape or anything that looks like or feels like that kind of a sexual encounter. It is to set a standard to help couples understand that a part, not the whole, but a part of the wedding covenant, a part of the wedding contract, a part of the wedding agreement, is to support each other, yea, even sexually. And so Paul says, defraud ye not one another. Do not withhold yourself from each other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And so this is the scripture that husbands and wives need to address whenever there's a consecration, whether it's a consecration call by the pastor, or whether the individual husband or wife feels inclined by the Holy Spirit to go on a consecration. They should talk with each other to discuss the extent of the time, so that there's an agreement, so that if the urge hits while they're on the consecration, they have agreed to withhold themselves for a time with consent. Praise the Lord, with consent. And so that consent part is very important. And Paul says, so that Satan doesn't tempt you for your incontinency. In other words, he doesn't tempt you because you're holding yourself, you're withholding yourself, or you're being held back sexually. There are times when that happens. Again, it's during the consecration period, but it's with consent. Paul goes on to say, I speak this by permission and not by commandment. He is speaking as an oracle of God, as an instrument of God, as an apostle and pastor. Not only apostle and pastor, but even as a pastor of pastors, as a bishop. And so with all his ecclesiastical authority and with all the spiritual insight that he has, he shares this. Every man, he said, I would that all men were even as I am. And we're going to get to that in the next slide, because there's three gifts that God gives us to deal effectively in the area of sexuality. But he says that I would that all men were like me. And by that, he's talking about having the gift of celibacy. But every man hath his proper gift of God. So the gift he's talking about regarding himself is the gift of celibacy, which we're going to touch on in a second. After this manner, he said that everybody has their proper gift. You know, some have this gift, some have that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And that's to live in a state of freedom from sexual sin, the unmarried and widows. And we're going to talk about the gifts that God will give to be able to allow the believer to be effective in this call. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. That's widows and singles. He says, basically, if they cannot contain through the gifts that we're getting ready to talk about, let them marry, for it is better for them to marry than to burn. And that's the scripture that's a lot of people are familiar with. It's better to marry than to burn. And sometimes people take that scripture completely out of context, because what they're dealing with is uncontrolled lust. You should never marry somebody because you've got uncontrolled lust, because lust is not limited to sex. It is an insatiable need for more. It is it's a hunger that never gets satisfied. And this is why there are some people in relationships where they feel that they've done everything they possibly could. They've made every concession they can possibly think of, and yet their partner is still disagreeable toward them. And in some cases, abusive, verbally, emotionally, maybe even physically, maybe even spiritually. Oh, yes, there are some that would try to perpetrate spiritual abuse because I'm the head of the house. The Bible says I'm the head. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost there. And God does not want you to live in bondage and under abuse. And you've got to learn how to walk according to God's word, because no matter what we experience in life, at the end of the day, we're obligated to be obedient to the scripture, not to the times and the season, not what's contemporary and colloquial, not what's the latest fad and fashion and even fixture of how people walk in terms of the church. The word of God is the standard. The word of God is the standard. Let's go on. If they cannot marry, Paul says, let them, if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Continuing on with sexuality. Again, the way people experience and express themselves sexually. The scriptures speak an approval tone concerning heterosexuality. And that's intercourse with the opposite sex. And that's, of course, in the context of marriage. Divorce is condemned in the scriptures, and homosexuality is condemned in the scriptures. I need somebody to do some reading. Sister Tinley, if you would, to take Matthew chapter 19. We want to get through this. And I just need so we got Matthew chapter 19 up here. Oops, I don't think my color. There we go. Matthew chapter 19. I need somebody else for Mark chapter 10. And I need somebody for Romans chapter 1. Let's deal with those three scriptures first. So, Sister Tinley, if you would, Matthew chapter 19. And remember, for those of you that are on the line, please make sure that you are chatting to everyone so that everyone will be able to see what you have volunteered to read so they'll know what's no longer available. Sister Tinley, can you please take us with Matthew 19, 1 through 12?
Matthew 19, 1 through 12. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doeth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. Verse 12, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Tinley. So there was a lot to unpack in what we are sharing with you tonight. It's very important to go through this because I want you to get a foundation of the word. It's important to note that what we see in this particular text is the Pharisees coming to Jesus to tempt him. Now, these were the spiritual leaders. These were religious leaders of the day. They were scholars of the word. They were teachers of the word. And it's just ironic that those are the ones that are coming to tempt Jesus, the ones that should know better. So let's understand that a lot of times opposition doesn't come from those on the outside of the church. Sometimes the opposition comes stronger from those that are on the inside. And so it's important to establish the foundation of the word. Jesus said to them, have you not read? And again, he goes right to the word. He doesn't play games with them. They know the word. They're supposed to be teachers of the word. Then let's take this and put it in the context of the word. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So let's put a pin in this for a moment, because I want you to understand clearly Jesus is speaking here with no question concerning the fact of heterosexual unions. He is definitely not condoning and not suggesting that there's any equality on par with same-sex marriages. He's establishing clearly that this is the model that God has established. Male and female is how he made them. And then this is in the context of husbands and wives. And so it's very important that you understand this. There are some that would say that Jesus never condemned homosexuality. Well, that they haven't read all. They don't know the word that well. There's areas of the word that they should, that they need to study a little bit better. It's right here in the word. And he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He's identifying the man, that one party in this relationship is a man, and the other party in this relationship is a woman. It is the wife. So this is a scripture that clearly identifies the model of marriage ordained by God. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Establishing another important principle here, that when you get married, you leave and cleave. There's none of this son hanging on to mother, daughter hanging on to mother and father, son hanging on to mother and father. There's no problem with support, but when you get married, you leave and you cleave. And the only way to learn how to make it is to hold on to your mate, to learn how to deal with the storms of life, the vicissitudes of life, the challenges that are inevitable. Because just because you have the Holy Ghost and you married who you feel is the right one, that will not exempt you from the storms of life. The Bible says that they are no more two, or they are no more separate, but they are one. They are one. And therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Clear English. I don't think the English is confusing here. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. If the two are consenting, if the two are of age, if the two are willing, and they go down that aisle and they make their vows unto God, whether there's a crowd of thousands or if there's a crowd of none other than the officiant, when they make their vows, when you make your vows, you have to live with your vows. And there's something here we'll get to a little later, right in the text here. They jumped up in Jesus's face and said, well, why did Moses allow for the writing of a divorcement? And Moses didn't create this this idea because he was trying to make he was just trying to do something. This concept was espoused because men were abusing their wives. Men were abusing their wives. And because their hearts were hardened, if they saw anything that that all of a sudden they lost favor with their wives, or the wives fell out of favor with the husband, and sometimes they would abuse them. And their hearts were hard. It's just incredible that their hearts were so hard that they would abuse their wives and treat them worse than animals. And because Moses saw this, he intervened with the idea of divorce. But from the beginning, look at the word. From the beginning, it was not so. Now, I know that this is a hot topic issue in the church, for many reasons. A lot of the issues when it relates to marriage in the church, the failure with some marriages is a lack of preparation, the lack of giving each other time to be prepared, the lack of individuals preparing themselves, having something of them of their own self to feel proud about, something of their own self to bring to the table. If you want to get married, you need to see what's being brought to the table, what you bring to the table and what they're bringing to the table. And if somebody's not bringing nothing to the table, then that ain't the one. Sorry to say, that ain't the one, because both of you have to bring something to the table. You can't be the one that's only bringing something to the table, or that person can't be the only one bringing something to the table. There's got to be a unity. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be an equal distribution and an equal contribution. Come on, somebody. My God, my God. Forced marriages are unscriptural marriages. And, that's not scriptural. The idea of marriage is something that's not is done in agreement, not coercion. I know that there are cultures that have prearranged marriages and that kind of thing. I'm not going to get too sidetracked on that tonight. There's a lot to unpack in this lesson tonight, but I want to just say, right, a forced marriage is not scriptural. The two parties have to be in agreement. They have to be of sound mind. I know somebody might say, yeah, I must have been crazy to marry him. Well, yeah, if you open your mouth and you say I do, you had enough wherewithal to get a marriage license and the wherewithal to show up. You might call yourself crazy, but you said I do. It's very, very important. And so, again, I don't want to there can be so much to discuss and so much to unpack with this. But I want you to know what the scripture says, because this is certainly not something that can be exhausted in an hour or a Bible class session. Let's go on, though. Mark chapter 10, verse 1 through 12, please. I think Sister Claudia's got that. Before you go, dear, thank you so much. I'm sorry to interrupt. If anybody has any personal questions you want to ask, by all means, put it in the chat to me. We want to be able to assist any way we can. So please feel free to hit me up in the chat with a direct message. I'm sorry. Yeah, please proceed.
That's okay. Mark chapter 10, verse 1 begins. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. There ended verse 12 of Mark chapter 10. To God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Claudia. So I wanted you to see, again, it's not just in one isolated passage of scripture. The Gospel of Matthew records it. The Gospel of Mark records it concerning Jesus's teaching as it relates to marriage and divorce and remarriage. It is important that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we understand that this means we follow his teachings. Disciples of Jesus follow the teaching of Christ. We're not disciples of men. While we may have an affinity to leadership, we may have a love for spiritual fathers and mothers. We may have a bond even with some people in the faith. We are not their disciples. We are disciples of Christ. So as such, it is required of us to follow his word. Now, there are some things in his word that are hard. Hard sayings of Christ. Yes, there are. H-A-R-D, hard sayings. But even those hard sayings are the Christ, they're sayings of Christ. They're still his words. They're still his teaching. And so whosoever shall put away, this idea of putting away, It has to do with divorce. So that phraseology deals with divorce. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery with her, or committed adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery. And so it's very important to understand that there is a move in the world that has resulted in damaging experiences to families. The family has been under stark attack by the enemy, whether they're in the church or out of the church. And that fight has absolutely made its way into the sacred halls of the sanctified. Fighting in marriages, trying to destroy homes, the devil with an insidious plot to destroy the future of young women and young men, attack marriages to bring division in the home. It's one of the most painful experiences that you can imagine, where children are raised up in a hostile home. Oh God, hostile. And it's very, very sad because the enemy brings in hatred. This is why 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, ought to be the chapter that prospective husbands and wives read and almost memorize, because that is your marching orders. That gives you the profile of what true love is. And if you are not able to live up to that, and of course you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength, with a made up mind, you can do it. But if you're not committed to it, then you don't make that commitment to marriage. You have to commit. Marriage is a commitment. It's not a convenience. And when people get into marriage out of convenience, when the convenience is gone, then they lose interest. When it's hard, they look for an easy way out. Lord help us. All right. Let's go on. Romans chapter 1. Heterosexual marriage is approved. Divorce is condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And homosexuality is also condemned. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 28. I think I have, there's a reader for that. I think that was Sister Jones.
Yes. Okay. Romans chapter
18 to 28.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men and men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Thank you very much. I know that was a mouthful. There's a lot to unpack here. The Apostle Paul lets us know that there are some things that God will judge. As he opens up the book of Romans, he establishes to the Jews that just because you're a Jew doesn't exempt you or give you a get out of jail free card as it relates to the righteousness of God. Doesn't give you a get out of jail free card as it relates to the consequences of sin. He opens up this important treatise, this powerful book, by declaring that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And now, you know, you got to understand that his first swing is at the Jews. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And to say that as a Jew was absolutely, it was an offense to Jews. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And of course, this faith that he is promoting is faith in Christ Jesus. So in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 28, when he begins to unpack this issue of how God will judge ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men that have been exposed. Now, the audience is not the uninitiated. It's not those who have not known truth. It's those that reject the truth. They reject the truth. And Paul establishes the nature of God and the presence of God by describing even invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, is clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. So he understands, and you know, we have physicists and chemists and scientists of all kinds that look at molecular composition of things, atomic structures, et cetera, et cetera. And they see a masterful collaboration of atoms and neutrons and electrons. They explain it. They didn't make it. I'm going to say that one more time. Those brilliant minds, those physicists, those astrophysicists, those nuclear physicists, they explain matter. They did not make it. God created it. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hey, Kanada Bosha, he created it. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that is made. Phew! And so even the invisible things bear record in the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are made from things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the eternal power and Godhead, those things that you can see point to something greater. They point to something greater. When you see a mountain, it points to something greater. When you see incredible animals in the water, it points to something greater. When you see people going to the moon, and even now, there are people that are civilians who are not necessarily astronauts, professional astronauts, getting out there and going into outer space. That stuff is amazing. It's incredible, but it points to a brilliant mind. That brilliant mind is the mind of God. And what Paul is saying here is that the problem that people have is when they reject God. Because when you start rejecting God, you start rejecting a whole lot of stuff. And then you replace it with your own. God have mercy tonight. Woo! When people reject the things of God, they come out with cheap substitutes. And so this is what Paul was unpacking here in this first chapter of Romans, chapter 18 through 28, because that when they knew God, he says, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They were fools because they reject God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it's whether they say it out of their mouth, whether they say it in their heart, whether they say it in their actions, there are fools loose. The fools are loose and they're out there professing themselves to be wise. They became even worse and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image, an image made like to corruptible man. In other words, man made things to suit themselves. They denied God, they rejected God, and now they are remanufacturing things to be in their image so that they can get the credit. They don't want to recognize God. They don't want to give God the credit he's due. The devil is a liar. And because of this, they have taken the glory and the brilliance of God in creation. It's glorious. It's glorious. And they've taken it and they've defiled it. They have corrupted it, made it like corruptible man, images of people glorying the flesh, turning it into things that are of nature. And instead of honoring the God of nature, they take the nature and make the nature their God. Lord, have mercy. And God, in his mercy, would deal with their hearts, just as he's dealing with some hearts that are listening to me right now. God, in his mercy, will deal with hearts. He'll speak to the heart. He'll bring the word to a heart. He'll bring a Bible study to the heart. He'll bring something that doesn't even have book, chapter, and verse, something common. You can be walking through the street, see a sign on a building, see a sign on the side of a bus, go down in the subway and see a sign on the wall. And that thing speaks to you about something that God is doing. It's like the voice of God is in the ad. And God will continue to do this because he's a compassionate God. He's long-suffering. But there will come a time, my God, there will come a time when the Bible says that God gave them up to uncleanliness, uncleanness. If that's where you want to go, that's the lifestyle you want to live, you're going to fight and argue. You're going to kick and scrape with me. The Bible says he gave them over to their uncleanness. In other words, he let them have what they wanted. Dishonoring their bodies between themselves, changing the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. The Bible says God gave them over to their vile affection, their deceitful and their nasty affections, their ungodly affections, despicable. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. This is talking about lesbianism. And likewise also the men, homosexuality, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, there's a consequence to that. Every sin has a consequence. And so let's not make this into a situation where we are saying that sexual sins, homosexuality, lesbianism, that kind of stuff is a horrible sin. Oh my God, it's a sin of sins. No, it's sin. It's sin. It's sexual sin, but it's sin. And the Bible tells us that we need to purify ourselves from all sin, sins of the flesh, as well as sins of the spirit. God help us on this call tonight. God and Paul, by the Holy Spirit, are saying there's consequences to sin. They burned in their lust, their uncontrollable passion and desire to have. This is why lust is not just sexual. Lust is not just sexual. It's the uncontrolled passion, unbridled, without restraint, to consume. Lust doesn't give, lust takes. And they burned in their desire to take one another, to have one another, with no restraint, with no law, with no prohibition. If you don't like it, that's your problem. It's love. I can love who I want to love. Well, yeah, you can do what you want to do, but God has a standard for living. And if you violate the standard of God's word, there's a consequence to that, beloved. and sin, all sin has a consequence. And all sin will be met with the recompense of the error. And so the Bible says they resisted God so much that the Bible says that they sought to get God out of their mind, to erase God from their memory banks. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that is so bent on doing what it wants to do. This is the nth degree of stubbornness. Be careful with that stubborn spirit, because if you continue to fan the flames of a stubborn spirit where you must have your way all the time, be careful, because that spirit is unaccountable. That spirit won't submit. And that there is an element of discipleship that speaks of submission to all of us. All of us must submit. So be very careful. And you need to bind that spirit. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that was so bent on doing what it wanted to do that it was not in any way, shape, or form open to compromise, open to reasoning, open to change, to do those things which were not convenient, so the scripture says. And so let's understand, it's in the context of homosexuality and lesbianism in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 28, but it's not limited to that. It's anything where you want it so much that no matter what God's word says, you got to have it. So to guard yourself against this attack, God gives the gift of celibacy, where people don't have the drives and the desire and the pressure that, you know, a lot of folks have in terms of being sexually active. They are asexual. They can go without sexual intercourse. That's the gift of celibacy. And I'm just going to read this tonight to expedite. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. That's A, the gift of celibacy. This is one of the things that God gives us to be able to stand under this attack, the gift of celibacy, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. The second thing is the gift of grace. The gift of grace. This is endurance by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture talks about people who make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. These are asexual individuals who are not driven, not needing any sex. Some of them were made, some people were made eunuchs. They were castrated. And this was very common in the Gentile kingdoms, where the kings would have eunuchs watch over their temple prostitutes or their multiplicity of wives, the concubines they had. They didn't want men coming in there and having intercourse with their wives or concubines, and so they had eunuchs there. And again, some of these men were, most of the time, these men were made eunuchs. They were castrated, and so their genitals were cut off. These people, I say, they will go through with the grace of God, rebuking, replacing these powerful feelings with the word of God. And this is a very, you know, this is a very delicate area, because there are some people who make a decision that I'm not going to get married. Some people may have been abandoned by their husbands, abandoned by their wives, and they understand what the scripture says concerning divorce and remarriage. And I'm talking about people who have been abandoned by spouses in the church. Lord have mercy. And they have to live celibate. They have to live in a state of celibacy. And God will give grace to be able to empower the believer to live sin free. This is the grace, or the gift of grace. And then third, and that gift of grace is from Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. I think we read that earlier when we were dealing with heterosexual approval and condemnation of divorce. Again, the gift of grace is the second blessing, or the second gift that God will give to enable the believer to live sin-free and to overcome in the area of the attack, in the area of sexuality. The gift of grace, Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. And then the third is the gift of marriage, from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 34. I'm going to read that one more time, particularly for those that are listening. The gift of marriage, which is the third blessing, the third thing that God gives the body of Christ to live sin-free when it comes down to attack in the area of sexuality, the gift of marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 34. There's a lot to unpack there, and I want you all to read that and be able to be blessed by it in the name of the Lord. I want to get through these seven areas of attack. I've got so much to share with you, but I want to give this to you. The sixth area of attack is your body. And the enemy will attack us in the area of infirmity through sickness, disease, et cetera, et cetera. Again, the sixth area of the seven areas of spiritual attack is your body, where the devil will attack with disease, affliction, and infirmity. And so I want you to understand that the word of God gives us defense in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I'll read those scriptures again. And I'd like to have somebody quickly read the Isaiah 53, verse 5 through 4 through 5. The sixth area of attack, your body. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. We got some eager readers tonight. Amen. I'm just going to ask Sister Claudia to read that middle verse for us, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. And everybody else, you can just sit tight. Let's go there. Sister Claudia, please read that.
Okay, just a minute. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are truly healed.
Amen. Amen. What Christ has done for us, what Isaiah prophesied about, Peter speaks of it in its fulfillment. And I want you to understand the power of Christ at work in us through the Holy Spirit. These blessings that are ours are not ours because our minds have been changed. These blessings are ours because our nature has been changed. Yes, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, but you cannot get the mind of Christ without the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Spirit. This is why you must be born again. And so it's important, it's imperative for us to live according to the way God wants us to live. We must be born again. Our first birth was a birth into sin. It was a birth into sin. We need to be born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit. And this is the beauty of the gospel message. This is the beauty of the salvation plan, because Christ takes the blame and gives us the blessings. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. They add, they increase. That idea of that word rich, it doesn't just talk about, it's not limited to monetary increase. And a lot of times people don't understand the scriptures when it talks about the idea of increase. And they think that gain is godliness. And the apostles taught that godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't measure your godliness by how much stuff you have, that's foolish. Because suppose you lose your stuff, does that mean you've lost your God? Oh, God help me on this line tonight. Woo! Much to unpack. You don't measure your walk with God by the stuff you have in your home. Christians in 1 Corinthians Hebrews chapter 11, the first believers in the Old Testament, they lost much. They lost much. And they died holding on to a promise. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost. They had the promise that was to come. And then the first century Christians, you want to know what it's like to go through? Some people think that because somebody talked about them, they're going to leave the church. Somebody talked about them, so they're going to backslide. The devil is a liar. You don't have much Holy Ghost if somebody can talk about you and that makes you turn your back on God, because God didn't talk about you. As a matter of fact, Christ talked about you to God. Christ was your advocate. He was your lawyer. He was your go-between. He was your defense attorney. And when it came down to providing evidence, he couldn't look to you because you didn't have anything that would exonerate you. You didn't have anything going in your favor, working for you, that would have gotten you free from the condemnation or free from the charges. The charges were rightfully placed upon you. And so when Christ needed evidence to point God to, he put himself on the cross. He hung on the cross, and he would not come down from the cross just to save himself. He decided to die just to save me. And so prophet Isaiah declared and said, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was whipped by God because of you. He was whipped by God because of me. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Everything he gave on the cross was so that God can bless our lives. Jesus gave his all so God can give us his best. My God, he took the fall. Jesus took the fall. Jesus took the blame. He took the fall and thought of me and thought of you above all. My God, my God. I'm going to give you the last one, then we got to wrap. The seventh and final area of spiritual attack is our lifestyles through the spirit of error. It is the challenge that we face when we deal with the issue of truth versus error. Our lifestyle comes under attack. And I do need somebody to read this tonight, and this will be the last reading. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I need a volunteer for 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. This is the seventh and final area of attack. I think Sister Marbury came in first. Thank you, Sister Charisse, for your willingness, and Dr. Marbury for your support as well. The seventh and final area tonight, the seven areas of spiritual attack, your lifestyle. And this has to do with the issues of truth versus error. The scriptures are 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and the book of Ephesians, again, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to ask Dr. Marbury to please unmute herself, and she will share with us the reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, in Jesus' name. Dr. Marbury.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby knoweth ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He have knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not of us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Thank you, Dr. Marbury. It is extremely important that you understand that when we come to the practice of the apostles' doctrine, when it comes to the practice of the teaching of Christ, that there is a difference between right and wrong. We're living in the last days. The Bible says that men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They'll be heady, high-minded, disobedient to parents. They'll be, there'll be no respect for the things of God. As a matter of fact, those that would promote the things of God and even the aspect of holiness would be marked as fanatical, and that something's wrong. You're inflexible. You don't have compassion. It's amazing how that when a person is so bent on doing their own thing, that they will justify their actions by condemning others. And this is not a surprise, because the devil is the same way. And this is what happened in the Garden of Eden. The moment that Adam and Eve fell, when they were held accountable for their actions, they pointed the blame to someone else. And Adam had the audacity to say, God, this is the woman you gave me, as if to say it was his fault. And so there is no limit to the spirit of error, no limit to the spirit of error. And so you must guard yourselves by knowing the truth. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, indeed, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the mark of discipleship, walking in truth, living in truth, understanding that we don't walk in darkness, that we stand upon God's word, that we embrace what the scriptures teach, because it is infallible. The word of God is infallible. And so, beloved, let us arm ourselves to be able to be effective in these areas of attack. As we walk in the power of a renewed mind, let us pray for wisdom. Let us take every thought that's not of God and bring it into captivity through the principle of displacement and replacement. Let's replace every lie with the truth of God's word. You've got to get the word in your spirit. Let's walk and live with the spirit of gratitude, being grateful for the blessings that God has given us. You don't ever have to be jealous of anybody. You don't ever have to be envious of anybody. God loves you. And I want you to write that down in your notes tonight. God loves me. God loves me. I may be going through trials right now, but God loves me. I may be going through hell right now, but God loves me. I may not be able to see my way, but God loves me. And the Apostle Paul expresses this love, not just as a love toward God, but a love he has back toward God. And he said, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He puts it out there. And so gratitude is the response to God's love. Study the word of God. Put the word of God in your heart. Not just read it, but study it. Study to show yourselves approved unto God as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not just for preachers. It was said in the pastoral epistles, but it's in the Bible. And whatever's in the Bible, in terms of the teachings of how Christians ought to live, the Bible says that we ought to be ready to give an answer to any man concerning the hope that lies within us. Oh, bless the name of God. And so I want to know the word. I want to know it more. And I'm going to be wise because I know how the devil fights me. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so because of this, you got to create an action plan. Create an action plan. I've given you the word of God over these last few weeks as we've dealt with the renewed mind, because I want you to have an action plan. I don't want you just to have notes. I don't want you just to have a recording. I want you to have a plan, beloved. I want you to have a plan. This is God's plan. Hallelujah. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your life becomes the evidence that a 21st century world longs to see. They read the text, but they need to see the text. Be the text. Be the text that they need to see. You be the text. You be the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, and Philippians, Colossians. You be 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You be the book of Hebrews. You be 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. You be 1 and 2 Peter. You be Philemon and Hebrews and James. You be the word. You be the word. You be the example of what they need to see, Christ in the world. And when it comes down to doing everything you know to do, the Bible does say to pray, pray without ceasing. But what can I pray for, Pastor? Pray to be renewed. Pray for renewal. There are some things you've known. The enemy has tried to get you away from it. But pray for renewal, because God will do it for you. He'll restore your strength. He'll renew you in the Holy Spirit. There may be somebody listening that has gone away from God and fallen away from God, but God is here right now. He's not rejecting you. He's not turning his back on you. As a matter of fact, he still says, come. He says, come. For the sinner, he says, come unto me. For the backslidden prodigal, he says, come home. He still says, come. Come to him. Come back home. But for God's sakes, whatever you do, come. Because there will be a time when the doors will be shut, as in the days of Noah. When the flood came, they banged on the door, but the door was shut. There will come a time, just like that was for the five foolish virgins. They were virgins, but they were foolish. They lived their lives without enough oil. The word of God is your oil. The Holy Spirit is your oil. And when you resist the Holy Spirit, it affects your oil supply. Not that the Holy Spirit slips out of you, but you slip away from him. You slip away. And you're in this, and the space that develops between you and God is not anything to play with. Let there be no space between you and God. As you have come to God through Christ, be one with him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in us, working both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And so tonight, we love you. We're praying for you. And we believe, God, that these weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You've got everything you need to face everything that will come when you have the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Bless your hearts tonight, beloved. At this time, we are going to pause and give way. I don't believe we have a prayer leader for our young people tonight. And so we're going to have our prayer leader intercessory prayer over the men, and then our intercessory prayer leader over our women, in Jesus' name. God bless you at this time. Let the intercessors come.
Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy, Lord God, upon our lives, Lord. You've been so very good to us, Lord God. And we say thank you, Lord God. You didn't have to be as good as you are to us, Lord God. You didn't have to save us. You didn't have to go to the cross, but because you loved us so, because you loved us so, Lord, you did what you've done, Lord, for us. If it was only one person, Lord, you would have gone to the cross for that one person because of your love. And we say, thank you. We had 10,000 tongues. We couldn't praise you enough. We had 10,000, but we couldn't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And because of what you've done for us, Lord, we can say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us. Lord, we just bless your name tonight. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us, Lord. There's some of us that are, we feel that we're so deep in sin that there's no way out. But you've made a way of escape. And that escape is you going to the cross and shedding your precious blood on Calvary for us. So Lord, we ask you right now to forgive us. Those hurtful things that have come out of our mouths, whether it be insulting people, talking down to people, cursing people out, making people feel worthless, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord God, for those things that have come out of our mouths, those filthy and evil thoughts, those thoughts of maybe doing harm to somebody, doing wickedness towards somebody, even to ourselves, suicide. We ask you, Lord, to purge our thoughts, Lord. For those things that we've done with our bodies, Lord, that sexual sin, whether it be homosexual, masturbation, messing with somebody's spouse, or just committing fornication, we ask you to forgive us this day that you have made, Lord. And we know, Lord God, because of that, your blood, Jesus, that you shed up on Calvary, that we can be forgiven, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, that rich mercy that you have for us. Lord, we know we're not perfect. You said, no, not one man is perfect. But Lord, you have made a way of escape for us. Give us a presence of mind, especially in these last evil days, to come to the throne, to obtain mercy, to be forgiven, to have you wash our sins away. For you promise, Lord, that you even put it into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. So there's really no excuse. You've made a way for us. Are we going to take that way? So I pray right now that those men take that way. Sometimes we let pride get in the way and arrogance, and we're so tough and we're men. Would you tell us to be humble? Humble is the way. Humble is the way. So Lord, though for those whose hearts are hardened, Lord God, Lord, soften their heart, Lord, that they may be humble to come to you, that they're not too proud to come to you. They're not too proud to fall on their face and cry out to you for forgiveness. Because we are in the last days. For those who are listening right now, we are in the last days. And Lord, you are coming back for a church and for a people without spot or wrinkle. And if you want to be caught up, we need to be right with you. Lord, the families are so a wreck today. But Lord, you can fix it all. You can straighten out the mess. You can make that crooked road straight. So tonight, Lord God, we cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you. We cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you tonight, Lord God. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on the men tonight, Lord. We need you. Like the song says, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands and bow our knees and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Lord, don't forget us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you haven't forgotten about us. We say thank you. We lift up our hands. We say hallelujah. We say hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for those men that are giving their lives to you even right now. The men that are even asking you for forgiveness right now. Those men that are turning their lives around even right now and giving their hearts and their minds and their souls and their spirit to you and saying, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Renew my mind, renew my heart. Lord, help me to take care of my family. I might have been a bad husband, but Lord, because of you, I can be that man that my wife and my children look up to and that other men look up to. Lord, have mercy on us tonight, Lord. Lord, keep us, Lord. Keep us, keep us, keep us. We say thank you tonight, Lord, for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus Christ. We lift you on high. We adore you, Lord God. We bow down before you this evening. We want to thank you, hallelujah. Thank you for sparing our lives to see this another day. For this is a day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to thank you this evening, Lord God, for the woman, Lord God, of Beulah Tabernacle. We want to thank you for your manservant this evening who has brought forth the word, Lord God, who has broken down the word and dissect your word this evening so that we can understand your word. And Lord Jesus, I pray this evening that we will hide your words in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. Lord Jesus, help us to apply every word, Lord, to our lives so that we will be the people that you want us to be. Lord Jesus, this evening, I want to present every woman of Beulah Tabernacle and extended, Lord God, presenting everyone to you this evening. Holy God, as we have been taught this evening, my God, and been reminded that our minds should be renewed, hallelujah, and be transformed, hallelujah, through your word. Hallelujah, we pray this evening that we will be renewed. Renew our mind, transform our minds, change our thoughts, change the way we think. Hallelujah, hallelujah, so that we can be renewed one more time in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we want to confess our sins before you this evening. Wash us and cleanse us. Wash us with hyssop and we shall be clean. Wash us and we shall be whiter than snow. Hallelujah, Jesus. If there is any sexual sins amongst us, glory to God. I pray this evening that you'll forgive us and wash us and cleanse us as we present our bodies before you this evening, Lord Jesus, as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. Thank you for the provision that you have made, my God, so that we can abstain from sexual sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. Those of us who are married, I pray that we will be submissive to our spouses. as we are submissive to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord Jesus, that whenever we are tempted, we will use your word to counteract temptation. Hallelujah. Because you have a way of escape, my God, for every situation that we have been faced with. I pray, hallelujah, that the Holy Spirit, we will allow the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts, guide our ways, my God, and to apply your word unto our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, those of us, my God, who are marred, I pray that we will cleave to our spouses. My God, leave our parents, leave our mother and father, whomever we choose as mother and father, biological or not, we'll leave them and we will cling. Hallelujah. And we'll work together as partners in you. Hallelujah. Those who may have been separated, hallelujah. Thank you for the gift. The gift that you have provided for us, my God, to remain holy in your presence, my God. Thank you for celibacy. Hallelujah. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you for the gift of marriage, my God, so that we can abstain from sexual sins in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you this evening. Glory to your sweet name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the provision that you have made. My God, you continue to transform and renew our minds, holy God, so that we can make it in, so that we can live the life that is pleasing unto you in the name of Jesus. Glory be to your sweet name. And those of us, my God, who have been attacked, my God, who have been attacked by ill health, hallelujah, I pray this evening that you will visit us, touch our bodies, my God. Heal us, Lord God, from whatever afflictions that we are being faced with, sickness and infirmities. Hallelujah, because by your stripes, we are healed. Glory to your sweet name. There's nothing impossible with you, my God. And you said in your word, it is your will, my God, that will prosper and be in health. And Lord Jesus, we receive your word this evening another time. My God, hallelujah. Help us not to resist your word. Hallelujah. But that, Lord God, will be submissive to your word, will be obedient to your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray, God, that our lifestyle will reflect the truth. My God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the truth that will make us free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to guard ourselves with your word from error. Hallelujah. Error of sins. My God. David said, that word of I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word that you have provided to guide us, my God, from day to day. Lord God, if we follow your word, we'll never go astray. Hallelujah. We'll stay on the straight and narrow path from day to day. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, help us not, my God, to be obedient, to be disobedient, but that we will obey your word from day to day. We pray for wisdom. My God, help us to be wise. Help us to be wise in our doings, in our choices. Hallelujah. Help us not to be fools, because the fools have said in their heart, there is no God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us take every thought, my God, that is of you. Take the thought of God into captive. My God, help us to arrest every thought of you. Holy God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Help us, my God, to show our gratitude to you from day to day, because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Glory be to your sweet name. Hallelujah. Help us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. Hallelujah. 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 Renew our minds from day to day, so that our minds, my God, will be stayed on you, because you promised, Lord, that those whose minds are stayed on you will be renewed and be perfect peace. Hallelujah. Glory to your sweet name. Strengthen our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Glory to your sweet name. Strengthen us from day to day. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus, help us to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path, no matter what we are going through. Hello, Messiah, we thank you this evening. Thank you for hearing our prayer, my God. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for answering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bind us together like cords that cannot be broken. Glory to your sweet name, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your sweet name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are supposed to shine our lights as women of God so that others may see. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus, and come to glorify you. Be with us. Hallelujah. Through the rest of this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, our hearts and our minds. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory, glory, glory. Glory to your sweet name, Jesus. We look to you, Lord Jesus. We look to you by faith. Continue, my God, to lead and guide us from day to day as we tell you thanks for hearing our prayers this evening. We tell you thanks. We glorify you. We honor you. We hallow your name, Jesus. And we tell you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your sweet name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord God, we come before you with holy nothing. Everything is on the altar. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Have mercy according to thy loving kindness. Hallelujah. And blot out our transgressions and purge us with hyssop. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, Lord God, we lean and depend solely upon you this very moment. Father, Lord God, we come before you with the young people. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we ask you to continue to watch over them. Lord God, even as they go back into school, Lord God, help them to keep their focus to learn the lesson. Hallelujah. Protect them from the hands of the enemy, Lord God. Dangers in the school, Lord God. COVID, shootings, oh, come, my lassie. Watch over the Lord God and after our children, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we come before you, Lord God, asking you to have your way in their life, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord God, give them a thirst after righteousness. Oh, Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, help them, Lord God, to know that they are different, that they dare to be different. Hallelujah. In the world and time today, give them a thirst to want to know who you are, Lord God. Give them a thirst to want to be saved, Lord God. Lord God, hallelujah. For those that are saved, Lord God, we ask you to, Lord God, keep them safe. And those that are not sick, Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to save them before it's everlasting too late, Lord God. Oh God, give them a mind, Lord God, in these last and evil days. Oh Lord God, there's so many things out there speaking unto them, Lord God. But Lord, give them a mind to want to be different. Hallelujah. In spite of what their friends are doing around them, that they want to be different. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, bless our young people, Lord God. Lord God, teach them, Lord God, to listen unto their parents. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that they may go in the right direction in the name of Jesus, to be obedient, Lord God, to their parents, as being obedient unto you. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord God. Oh, God, Lord God, let them know, even if they make a mistake, it's not over. It's not over. Hallelujah, you're still there with loving arms. Maria, drawing them unto you. Hallelujah, let them know you'll never leave them, but you'll be with them until the end of the world. Lord God, some are going through so many things, oh God, they don't understand, Lord God, but Father, Lord God, help us, Lord God, help us, the adults, help them. Hallelujah, glory, help us to see, Lord God. Hallelujah, come on, yes, not that we criticize, but be there for them in the midst of their circumstances, Lord God. Oh God, let them know, Lord God, that you won't leave them, but you'll be with them to the end of the world. Hallelujah, in these last and evil days. Hallelujah, okay, yashay. Hallelujah. Bless our young people, Lord God. Lord God, take them through what they go through as young people. Hallelujah, because they will go through. Hallelujah, but bring them through victoriously. Let them know that they're victorious in you. Hallelujah, no matter what people say, they're victorious in you, Lord God. Hallelujah, things are going on in this world, but Lord God, you're still victorious. You're still powerful, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God that you're there for them no matter what. Hallelujah. Lord God, let them know that they're loved no matter what. Hallelujah. Things in the world are not right. Let them know that things that are not right, they stand regardless of what people say and tell them, but your word is true no matter what. Let them know, Lord God, that they can stand in the midst of things that are going on in this world that are not like you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord God. We trust you, Lord God, to do the finished work in our children. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Do it for them, Lord God. We're leaning and depending on you, Lord God. We lay upon thine altar with our children before you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory, God. You know the desires of every parent's heart. Lord God, hallelujah. Hear our cry for our children, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory, God, we're leaning on your Father and we're trusting and believing in you, Lord God, to do it for them. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord God. We depend upon you, Lord God. We're looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Have your way, each one of our children, each one of our young people. Have your way in the name of Jesus. The leaders, Lord God, of the young people, encourage their heart. Let them know, Lord God, that they're going to make it through. Hallelujah. Secularly and spiritually. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Rest on each one of them this day, Lord God. All the young people, Lord God, let them know you'll never leave them and you'll be with them to the end of the world. We trust and believe you. Hallelujah. And we thank you in advance for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we bless your name tonight, and we thank you for this incredible evening in your presence. We thank you for your word that has come to us to remind us of the power of a renewed mind. We thank you, Lord, that this is not by human power or intelligence, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit works through us. We thank you that we can say yes to your will and be empowered by your Spirit so that we can walk in wisdom. We can walk in victory. We can walk in harmony with your will and your word. How can two walk together except they agree? And tonight, I thank you for supernatural harmony. I thank you for a harmony in the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, that this harmony brings us closer to you, draws us near unto you, knits us to you. And even as we draw closer to you, we draw closer to one another. Oh, God, I thank you. This is the power of our unity because we put you first. Hey, this is the blessing of serving you as your disciples, because as we draw closer to you, yea, we draw closer to one another. I thank you, Lord, for the word of the renewed mind tonight. And I pray that you will strengthen every person under the sound of our voice. these precious souls to whom you have entrusted us to share your unadulterated word. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that your word would ever be settled within their hearts, that they will be not just hearers of your word, but doers of the word. In the matchless and mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we love you, Lord. We bless your name. Hey, hallelujah. And we commit them into thine hand, oh God of all grace. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know what they're dealing with right now. Someone is crying, someone is hurt, someone is broken. Oh Lord, but you're able to bring healing. You're able to bring strength. Lord God, you're able to bring renewal. And so, Lord God, by the power of your spirit, oh God, keep and strengthen. Bless right now from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Even as we go through this week, we trust in you, oh God. We trust that you will lead and guide and that you will bless, that you will abide. And so now I commit these precious hearts into your hands. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you until we see each other again. Be encouraged. Go forth and use the renewed mind. God bless you in Jesus' name.